Y'all ready for the word? Come on. Father God, we just thank you for the daily. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that you speak through my heart with clarity, with boldness. And Father God, help me to relay this message that you have placed on my heart in the name of Jesus. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Amen. Or if you got your Bibles, open up to Matthew 9:35. I actually have a joke for you. No, that ain't it. Now, why did Beethoven get rid of all of his chickens? Because all they would ever say is, bark, 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 bark. There we go. Musical joke. I know, it's about a 3 out of 10. 1 out of 10. It says here, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing what? Good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Matthew 4. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Acts 10:38 says this, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. People, if we're ever going to preach the gospel, if we're going to do it right, we have to do it the way that Jesus had done it. He preached and he, come on now, healed. All across this nation, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there's no healing going on. Why? Somewhere down the line, they stopped believing. My message today was going to be shut up and believe. But I made it out to be shut up and love God and love people. Because somewhere down the line, they had stopped believing. Somewhere down the line, they stopped believing. People have stopped believing in the miraculous signs of God. Miracles glorify God. Not all the followers that we may get on social media. Not all the clickbait we may get. Not all the posts that we make and things like that. That does not glorify God. Miracles will glorify God. And if you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you if you actually believe. But here's the thing. If you stop believing, somewhere down the line, if you stop believing, don't cut in on someone else. If you believe, keep it to yourself. If you stop believing, keep it to yourself. If you believe, share it with other people. But if you stop believing, keep that to yourself. Because that's not scriptural. If they will follow those who believe, it will follow you. Matthew Chapter 11, when Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we be looking? Should we keep looking for someone else? Jesus told them, go back to tell John and tell him what you have heard and seen. This is firsthand stuff. The blind eyes, the blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. He taught and he healed. That goes hand in hand. He taught and he healed. Everywhere he went, he taught. Now, if you were to just preach out, man, do I need a 3-hour long sermon? No, you don't. If you preach the Sermon on the Mount, if you just read the word and preach the Sermon on the Mount, and you can even pause at times and just be like, you know what? Pause for a dramatic effect. It's less than 20 minutes if you preach out the Sermon on the Mount. And then he did what? He healed. Jesus operated in full faith. We'll go on 10% at times, but still, even that faith is enough to move mountains. But he had a love for God, for the Father, and he had a love for people. He had a love for God, and he had a love for people. Luke 5 says this, but despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. Man, it's a common theme here. You preach, and you do what, Richard? Heal. You preach the gospel, and you heal. Luke 9:11 says this, but the crowds found out where he was going, and they followed him. He welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and he did what? And he healed those who were what? Come on. There weren't any sick people around Jesus. He preached, and he healed. There shouldn't be any sick people around you. Now, if they want to be sick, that's on him. That's on them. That's on her. If they want, they choose to be. But that doesn't stop you from preaching. That shouldn't stop you from sharing the gospel. That should not stop you from being bold with the word of God. Jesus says, the works that I do shall you do. And you will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. And anything that you ask in my name, it shall be given to you by my Father in heaven. We don't ever stop doing. He's done his work. It is a finished work, but he's also called us to do something when he told us to go. Go is doing. Go into the world is doing. He told us not to just be hearers of the word, but be what? Doers. Doers do. Doers do what God has called them to do. We're not supposed to be stagnant in our faith because we put our faith into action. We're supposed to do something. Believing is doing something. Preaching is doing something. Healing is doing something. We're doing. And we're always going to be doing, not to obtain salvation, because that's already a finished work. But we have to believe in what Jesus has done for us. Some people will shy away from good works when it comes to preaching. But you have to realize something. There's a lot of people that will try to stir up a lot of contention just because they ain't got nothing better to do. You can be sharing the gospel with people. You can be praying for people, and they'll go out, oh, they're trying to obtain good works. They're going out and doing it. Just sowing discord. That's all it is. And then you get people across the nation preaching on that because they sow that seed into other people. It says we are saved by grace through faith. And not by works, lest any man should boast. So there is not enough good in this world that we can do in order to be saved. We have to believe in the finished work of Jesus, right? But good works is just basically the evidence of you being saved. Either you're going to do good works or evil works. If you're saying you're going around doing evil works, people are saying, yeah, there's no evidence of you being a Christian because your works are evil. If you're going around doing good works, they might believe that you actually have a relationship with Jesus. Then they'll ask you. So if there was enough evidence to convict you of whether or not you're a Christian, will there be enough evidence for it? If you were to be convicted to be a born-again believer, what makes it look like, what? It's the word I'm looking for. Why would people believe that you're a believer? Is it because of your Jesus t-shirt? Is it because of your tattoos, because you got Jesus on your back and a picture of him with roses on it? Why are people going to believe that you're a Christian? It's because of your good works. You pray for people. You have a personal relationship with God. You're operating out of you're living your life based upon the fruit of the Spirit rather than the lust of the flesh. And sometimes people will dabble in the lust of the flesh at times. You know, when people talk about the lust of the flesh, you know the one thing that they always consider? The sexual immorality part. Or adultery. Or idolatry. But there's 15 of them. So lust of the flesh can be anything. It could be selfish ambition. It could be envy. See, a funny thing about envy is, envy can look, I heard somebody say this, it was really good. They talk about some people can act like they really care about you and they want to protect you. But since they're envious of you, they're really protecting themselves because they don't want to see what God wants to do in your life. They don't want you to elevate to another level. So they'll use that envy and then disguise it as protection. They're protecting you. You get promoted on a job, they're going behind the scenes saying, they're not really ready for it. I don't think they're going to, you know, that's a lot of pressure on them. So just give them a couple years and then they go in and take that job from you. They're only thinking about themselves. There's jealousy there. There's drunkenness there. There's manipulation, witchcraft, sorcery. All of that is there. But we're called to live our life based upon the fruit of the Spirit. And all of that stuff, when you make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, it is personally downloaded into you. Now you got to use the Word of God to help draw that out of you. You might have been used to be an angry person, but now, since you're allowing the Word of God to mold you and to shape you into who He's called you to be, you begin walking in love with people. There's a change in you, and people see that. We got to get to that place. Matthew 10 says this. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. So when Jesus had done it, he told his disciples to do it, and they went out and done it. And then the next verse here in Luke, he sends out the 72. He says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. We need more workers. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money. Wait a minute, I thought they were all poor. Why would he tell them not to take money? No copper, no silver, no gold, nothing. Nor or an extra pair of sandals. No Birkenstocks. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are there, those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, go back to that, please. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. So if they serve chitlins, you're going to have to eat those. Yeah. Pig intestines, y'all ever eat that? That stuff stank to clean. Put some hot sauce on it, it'll be all right. It'll just slide down the gullet. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. See, when he sent the 70 out, it's the same thing that he had done. The works that he do shall you do, and you will do even greater works. The works that Jesus did, thank God for those who preach the gospel, who preach the word, and then they baptize. But then here's the thing, that's it. They don't fill them with the Holy Spirit. There's no speaking in tongues because they wipe that out, because they stop believing. Denominations will stop believing. People will stop believing because they didn't see any evidence, and then they catch on because everyone wants to post what they don't believe. And you get Christians, man, I've always been feeling that way. And we don't ever go to the Word of God to find out what it actually says. We've got to stick to this Word. It's our guiding light. In Matthew 28, Jesus gives this great commission. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We do that. As far as I'm concerned, as Westview Church, here, the body of Christ, we preach the word. We make disciples. We were baptized, water baptized. We would get you filled with the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of what? Come on, somebody. I literally hear other people preaching on certain things and saying, well, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not necessarily the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible doesn't teach that. I understand what their preference is. I'd rather see the fruit of the Spirit rather than you speaking in tongues. Here's the thing. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the evidence of speaking in tongues, because at the day of Pentecost, they weren't all going around, hey, I love you, brother. I love you, brother, man. I'm just walking in the love of God. No, they were falling out. There were people who were hearing their language being spoken in tongues. They weren't operating in the fruit of the Spirit at that time. It was them of the evidence speaking in tongues. Whenever they preached and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was the evidence of speaking in tongues. There may have been one occasion. So you have six compared to one. I'd rather see the fruit of the Spirit. Me too. But that's not what happened based upon Scripture. I love you, brother. Peace. That hippie love. That's not the case. They were falling out drunk because the power of God had hit them. There were tongues of fire. And we will explain things away so eloquently. Come on. Mark 16. It says, still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together, starting in verse 14. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will do what? Cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. So, man, you don't have to worry about if your wife is putting a little something in your plate. Babe, my throat is. Pray over your food. And treat her right. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. And the Lord Jesus was with them. He worked what? He worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Why do you think I say from God to man? To the people. It's what? Powerful. From man, to the people, it will always be powerless. God didn't give them to say that. And you got people across this nation saying things that wasn't given to them by God. They can have a very powerful voice. And I'm talking about can move crowds and you can get in there and then it becomes, the reason why I know, it becomes petty. When they start talking about petty issues in people's lives, that's not the Spirit of God. God is not a petty God. He is El Shaddai. He is the Lord Almighty. When people begin to start talking about petty, it becomes competitive. First Corinthians chapter 2, it says, and I, brother, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul simplified it. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preach were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Our faith is not in the wisdom of men. It's not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. You can preach the most simplest message. It could be 5 minutes, and the power of God can move in people's lives if you believe. But Pastor Tim, I can't speak. Listen, Moses had a speech impediment. It doesn't matter. God is not after your speech. He's after your heart, and he will fill your heart with his word so that it'll come out and it'll begin to change people's lives. Preach the word. 1 Timothy 4 says, preach the word in season and out of season. Preach what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. When I get my message prepared, I don't go off of, hey, let me put a poll. Let me get a poll out. Who wants to hear this? Who wants to hear that? I preach what the Lord has placed in my heart. Every week I know what I'm getting ready to preach on. I just put it together Sunday morning. Because I've learned a long time ago, whenever I get my message prepared, Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday, he changes it up to Sunday morning. So I've learned to just listen and obey and act on his word. Preach what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. If the Lord puts on your heart to preach faith for a season, preach it. If he told you to preach on grace for a season, preach it. If people are getting tired of it, they're getting exhausted, tell them to do some push-ups. But preach the word of God and preach it unapologetically. Quit saying you're sorry. You're not sorry. You're a child of God. Jesus went everywhere preaching the gospel. That means he was preaching the same thing over and over. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel. It says he did this as a custom, coming in, talking about reading out of the prophet of Isaiah. Sorry, my mouth is getting dry. My lips are chapped. They're on fire. Every time he stood in a synagogue, that's what was going on. He was reading out of that. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Okay, Jesus, we heard this for 3 years straight. Come on. Gosh, this is exhausting. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Every single Sabbath, he was there. It was his custom. He did it repeatedly, over and over again, because he knew he had to be in the Father's house. Nothing was stopping him from getting there. Nothing should stop you from coming here. And wherever you're going online, stop making excuses. Get to the Father's house. If you don't have one, come here, because I'll preach your socks off. In 1 Corinthians 4 says, now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not of word, and is not in word, but in power. It's not in talk, but in power. We can say a lot of good things. We can make our words to be sweet, but where's the power? Just because I'm talking loud doesn't mean there's power behind it. Just means I'm talking loud. Lower your voice. All right. So here we go. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. See, it'll work both ways. But you have to believe. You have to believe. Religious leaders, what they had done, they stirred everybody up to come against Jesus. They were false teachers, preaching a false religion in a sense. But there's a reason why Jesus said, you can listen and obey, but don't do what they do. They were stirring everybody up, getting people to come against the Messiah. One of my favorite quotes, and I will always say this for as long as I get another one, by Mark Twain. If you find yourself agreeing with the masses, that's the time to pause and reflect. Why do I agree with them? Why? Because there are people who will just stir stuff up, get you stirred up, get you excited, get you going after Joe Schmo over here. Not you, Joe, but just Joe Schmo. And get you all fired up and going after that one person, and then they'll sit back and just be like, oh, I didn't do anything. They love stirring that stuff up. The Bible talks about that's a false teacher. He says you would know their fruit. See, either you're going to be doing evil works or you're going to be doing good works. 1 Timothy 6 says this. Chapter 6, verse 3, it says, but if anyone spreads false teaching that does not agree with the healthy instruction of our Lord Jesus, teachers teaching others that holy awe of God is not important, then they prove they know nothing at all. It's obvious they don't value or hold dear the healing words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are covered with the clouds of conceit. They are loaded with controversy. They love to argue their opinions and split hairs. The fruit of their ministry is threefold: contention, competitions, and evil suspicions. They add misery to many lives by corrupting their minds and cheating them of the truth. They equate the worship of God with making great sums of money. Their ministry is contentions. Basically, get Richard over here and I'm going to sow some dirt and some seed into Richard to get him to come at Matt. And I'm going to stand back and I'm going to watch them go at it. Contentions. It just means rivalry. You get pastors in the pulpit that get these gifts. These false teachers will go out and push out this narrative, and then they'll go around having their carriers handles, you know, hand people. This is just spiritually. A little gift bag here. Hey, you take that, man. That's correction, right? That's correction in that. You can open it up and see. If you want to eat it, go ahead and eat it. Come over here, man. Oh, this is a nice, hologram. Here you go. You can have that. That's for you, man. You go ahead and eat that up. Right? Okay. You look like you're a Magnum PI guy. Here you go. Should have gave it to you. You like wearing those Hawaii shirts. And they drop off these little treat bags. And it could be correction, it could be accountability. That person needs to be accountable for what they're doing. But they don't realize something here, the spirit behind it. They haven't prayed over it. They are so eager to eat that cookie up. There's cookies in there if you want it, sugar cookies. And this is what I'm saying. They stand in the pulpits and they get and they preach what the false teacher had given them. And they begin to mention that stuff in their messages. And it becomes so petty that they made that false teacher's voice an idol in their life at that moment. And that cookie represented sin. Now, so you seen his face? He was like, boy, it looked like cookie. Somebody took Cookie Monster's stuff away. But I'm saying, this is what happens. And so they're up in the pulpit and their lips can be on fire, but at the same time, when they ate that cookie, they decided to say what man had given them to say. They're sweet on their lips. They got sugar on their lips. And you can see the evidence spiritually. They took Cookie Monster's stuff away. But I'm saying, this is what happened. There's an echo here. That was me? But here's the thing. They're standing up there, they'll preach, or we'll go around and we'll do these things, and you get a lot of people in the body of Christ walking around with sugar on their lips. Why? Because they decided to go and stir contention up, competition up, evil suspicions on people. False teachers will lead you to do that because that's the fruit of their ministry. And you're walking around, people are walking around with sugar on their lips, and God wants your lips to be on fire for him. Either be chapped or put some Carmex on. But when you're standing up there or you're going around and you got sugar on your lips, you're walking in idolatry because you rather say what somebody else has given you to say rather than what the Lord has placed on your heart to say, from God to man to people, powerful. You want to be powerful or powerless? Remember that commercial in the 80s? Tastes great, less filling. See, we want to be taste great. Why? Oh, taste and see. Taste and see. Powerless deals with Satan. It deals with man-made stuff. It deals with contentions and rivalries. And people would think, whoa, man, that was correction, but it was really envy and jealousy. Man, that was accountability. No, that wasn't accountability. That was witchcraft, because that was manipulation, control, intimidation, and domination. You're not trying to hold somebody accountable. You're trying to control them. That wasn't love. That wasn't honor and respect. That was admiration, fear, and worship. Some people would rather be feared than be respected, because with fear, you can control them. And they're dropping these little gifts off. And they may even have a little card with a nice little note with some water droplets on it, making it look like as if they were just crying over that stuff. And it becomes a part of life for people. They get up in the pulpit, they're preaching the word of God on fire, and then they get petty. That's sad. It's correction. No, that's not correction, it's judgment. See, if somebody judges you, don't worry about it. I don't fear man's judgment. Honestly, I don't. You know why? Because it's man's judgment. The judgment we should fear is God's. I don't fear man's judgment at all. People want you to fear them. But if somebody judges you, the Bible says, do not judge lest you yourself be judged. So if you're going around saying, that person judged me, watch out for that person, because they could be deceiving you. Because who goes around telling somebody else, they judged me? They're judging other people. They have a judgmental heart. People who do that are deceiving you because they couldn't handle the correction that was given to them. You can't keep going around telling people 2 + 2 = 5 and push that narrative on them, but 2 + 2 is actually 4. And when you correct somebody when they say 4 and you're standing on that, they go out and say, well, they can't handle correction. They twist the narrative. They're being judgmental. And the best one yet is when they'll try to work some sin in your life and look like as if the correction that you gave them was actually hypocritical. You got some false teachers. They're loaded with controversy. They're always stirring up drama. Always. And they'll catch you to help stir up drama. This is what I'm saying. Love God, love people. If you love people, you're not gonna stir up drama in their life. You're not gonna compound their problems that they're going through. You're there to help. You're there to be a blessing. You're there to be that guiding light. You're there to speak life into them, because Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. But man's words, man, they can keep you oppressed. It's correction. It's not really correction. They're attacks. In Isaiah 54, this is what the Passion Translation says. It says, you will be established in what? Not mine. Not yours. God's. Established in righteousness. Oppression, be far from you. Fear, be far from you. Yes, terror will not come near you, nor will you be afraid. That's where you stand on. Next one. He says, you will be built solid, grounded. This is the message, in righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. Verse 15. You got verse 15 on that? I'm going to read it here. It won't even come close. It says, if anyone attacks you, Don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. This is God saying, if anyone attacks you, don't for a moment believe that God has sent them. So when they're standing up and they're saying certain things, or somebody comes across their path and says something, guess what? It didn't come from God. They're making it out to be correction, but the spirit behind it is actually an attack. It didn't come from God. You don't need to fear that. They're clouds of conceit, loaded with controversy. And if any should attack, it says nothing will come of it. I created the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer, but no weapon can hurt you has ever been forged. Whew. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a what? Liar. This is what God's servants can expect. Come on. Anyone who makes an attack against you, I'm telling you. See, people will say, don't touch God's anointed, and they're thinking it's just me. It's all y'all. You're part of that. How stupid for people to be to try to attack God's children. Nothing will come of it. Don't be afraid. Well, I can smear your name. Smear away, bruh. That's been done already. Smear away. You ain't saying nothing but a word, Jack. Why? Because I base my reputation on how I treat one another, not what is said about me. I can go around being fake, but you know what? I'm fooling people, but I'm not fooling God. And we can go around acting like we love God and we love people, but God knows our heart and whether or not we really do, because faith works by love, and love works no ill towards their neighbor. See, you shouldn't be plotting. False teachers will always plot against you when they should be working, studying, working with their hands. They always plotting. They always got some plot. But you, beloved, you go preach the word. You go be that blessing that God has called you to be. You establish your relationship with Jesus, because that's first and foremost in what you do. Because God loves you, and he needs you to love on those people that are out there that needs help. And there's people that need help, but if people can keep you occupied with some treat bags, spiritual treat bags, to have you walking around with sugar all on your lips, then you're serving their purpose rather than God's. They don't care about people. It's a facade. It's a mask. They don't care about people. No one can sit there and say, oh, Pastor Tim sent me to say this to no one. I will never do that. Ever. I'll say it. I'll say that. If God has given me to say, you know, I had the great opportunity to coach basketball at the middle school and at the high school. I was a head coach at the middle school for 3 years. And for seven years, I was at the high school as a freshman, JV, and in the last couple of years, I was doing stats and video. Because I wanted to enjoy watching my boys play. I get on Isaiah probably more, so Isaiah probably took the brunt of the wrath of dad. I remember that Salina game, man. We were playing Salina Central one time, and we was whooping them. They were a good team. But his senior year, we was whooping them. And then getting down to the last quarter, man, we started throwing the ball away. They started pressing, trying to get the ball. And I remember, man, take care of the ball. He was like, yeah, you're right. I went off. I was trying to enjoy the game because we were up. And then they started throwing the ball away. I was like, come, take care of the ball. It's like we were doing everything we could in order to lose the game. I said, so. He was like, calm down. I said, all right, sucker. You remember that? Huh? Oh, and you were playing well, huh? Yeah, that was his flu game, see? You always trying to be like Jordan, but yet you keep rocking LeBron. You know you want to be like Mike. You want to be like Mike. But here's the thing. I said, Being in the school system, man, that's a whole different level and world of information. Everybody knows everything about everyone. Seriously. And I don't even look for the information. It was just being brought to me. Well, you know, so-and-so did this and this and this. I said, I don't want to hear this. My ears are bleeding. I just want to coach. But here's the thing. I never use that information in order to leverage myself into a position or to go at anyone, because here's the thing. I don't know if it was true or not. You ain't going to sugar my lips up. I'll walk around with them chapped on fire, but you ain't going to put no sweetness on my lips. But I never use that for my advantage or for anyone else's, because I couldn't take that at face value. We have to realize whatever God brings to us, whatever he tells us in the dark, we're supposed to speak it out. And don't be ashamed to do it. Do it boldly. I had an opportunity to preach, actually speak at an FCA event for teens and stuff, and I was invited. Somebody texted me, and he was wanting to know if I wanted to do it. I was like, yes, sure, I'll do it. And then the Holy Spirit said, I texted him back, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. And then the Holy Spirit said, you might want to pray on that one. So I texted back and said, hey, let me pray on it, and let me get back to you. I began praying on it. The Lord said, I didn't open that door for you. All right. I can't do it, man. I thank you for the opportunity to do it, but I have to respectfully decline. God didn't open up that door for me. You know why? Because one of my prayers is I want to walk through the doors that he opens up for me, not the ones I try to open up for myself or someone else trying to open up for me. Not every door open is from the Lord. Let me address an issue here. Did the day 12 thing, day 11 or day 12, somebody had put on there, hey, I heard we were at your Westview Church was doing a 50-year jubilee. Great woman. I love the woman. I love the family. I was like, well, that didn't come from my mouth, because I never said anything. So how do you hear? Somebody must have put something out. But here's the thing. We weren't doing it because I talked with the lady that called me up and wanted to do it. I said, again, when I stepped in this pulpit February 20, 2022 to be the senior pastor of this church, my God-given position, I said, one of the first things I said was, I will pray about every decision I make. And I prayed about it. The Lord said, don't touch it. So I told her, we won't be doing that. We respectfully decline, what have you, but we won't be doing that. I said, so if you want to do it with other people somewhere else at another venue, you can go right ahead. But the Lord told me no on that one. She said, all right. So I don't know how she heard that, but you can, if other people start asking, just tell them to fast forward to that part right here, this part right here. So you don't have to constantly answer questions and stuff. I'll pray about everything. Sometimes people want to rush you into decisions or put pressure on you, what have you. You were not built for pressure. That's why he tells you to cast all your cares. When people try to pressure you, you cast all your cares on him. Lord, this is yours. So you can walk free. Why? Because he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is, that stuff don't come from God, it comes from the world. So when the world is trying to pressure you, give it to God. Stop carrying it around. That's not yours to carry. Jesus already did it. It's a finished work, right? Give it to him. I will pray about every decision. And sometimes it's not the most popular one. That's why everybody likes me. I don't care if they do or not. I've learned a long time ago. I'm not an ice cream salesman. I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I believe that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow me. And I believe they will follow you if you believe, because that's his word. Lord, you said, if I believe, I believe. But we got to get our love walk right. They'll follow you, Doug, because you have a heart of gold. You're a faithful man, but they'll follow you. You too, Pam, if you believe. That's for every born again believer across this nation. You don't ever have to walk around with sweetness on your lips like that. Let your lips be fire, chapped up, fire ready to go for God. If you need to put some Carmex on or chicken poop, that stuff, put it on there. Y'all know the chicken poop chapstick? They have it at Walgreens, I think. Blistex. I was preaching one time. We had all the college students here. And they were just kind of making a joke because I use them for the youth and stuff like that back then. And they just like, dude, we need to get you some chapstick because you licked your lips like 150 times during your message. And that's impressive because my message was only like 10 minutes long. I need to get some Carmex. We preach the gospel. What Jesus had done for you is a finished work. It's a finished work, but there is still stuff that he has called us to do and to carry on and to go out there into the world and preach the gospel. Be ready in season and out of season. It says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Sometimes people may not like this from me. So when I correct, they don't like that. I'm okay with that. I don't care if a person is racist. I really don't. I love you anyway. I wasn't raised that way. But I really don't care. You're not going to stop what God wants to do in my life. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to submit to you because you're not even submitted to God. But if people hate this or they hate that, the color of your skin, they're petty. That's not from God. Because we're called to love him and to love people. Did you ever think that Western Kansas would have a black pastor, a black person pastoring them? And I believe Yosemite has one out there too, and he comes from Nebraska. But I believe I was the first one as a youth pastor. I was raised up. Do I care about that? No. Because it's not about my skin color. God wasn't after the color of my skin to be able to minister. He was after my heart. And he's got it. So if I preach, and when I preach, it's going to be fire.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.